around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. David Langford here again today, and we'd like to take the opportunity to welcome every one of you to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Tuesday, and I trust and pray as always that the goodness of our Lord has already ministered to you in some capacity. I can say for certainty, I know that He has, if you've taken the time to pray today and read your Bible. I assure you, He has touched you, comforted you, ministered to you, and helped you in some way if you bothered to take the time and pray and commune and fellowship with Him. As I have said so many, many times, I've gotten down to pray. And when I got up, my circumstance, my situations had not changed. But I, as an individual, felt so much better because I had been in the presence of the Lord. What a joy to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Him today with all of my heart. I thank Him today for all of His goodness. He's been so good to every one of us. He's been so good to us so many times that we were undeserving of His love, undeserving of His mercy. When I reflect over my youth, I look back how many cynical and foolish deeds I committed. But God was faithful to not suffer the loss of my life and of my soul. But He protected me till He got me back into the fold of God. And that's why I'm forever indebted to the Lord and for His vast mercy that He showed me. Every one of us, every one of you listening today, you got mercy when you didn't deserve it. That's why it's called mercy. You deserved something worse, some kind of punitive punishment. That's what we all deserved. But God, hallelujah, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, but God, what a powerful phrase there, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. I love the next verse, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Think of that. Even when we were dead in sins, God gave us mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, loved us even when we were dead in sins, but hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Only by grace. And what Jesus did on the cross saves a man. Isn't it great to know all one has to do is believe? When Peter is going through this great litany of events that will take place before the second advent of Christ, he said in Acts 2:19, I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Listen to this next verse, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Calling upon the Lord, putting your faith in what he did, Peter says, you're going to be saved. You're going to be saved. And how I believe that with all of my heart today. Amen. I want to play a song by the New Jersey Mass Choir. I played this song some months ago, probably 4, 5, 6, maybe even longer, because time flies by so quickly today. But I love the way they do this wonderful, beautiful song entitled, Oh, the Blood.
Oh,
Aren't you glad today the blood of Jesus Christ will never, ever, ever, ever lose its power, its wondrous working power? That power is in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and through the word of their testimony. My, we will be victorious solely by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I never failed to be amazed at the enormity and the potentiality of a billion with a B, billion gallons of blood being shed till Christ came on the scene. And all of that shed blood never atoned for sin. Yet when John the Baptist in John 1:29 saw Jesus coming from afar, he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? The blood of Jesus Christ. I want to go back today and speak to you just a few more moments on end time signs, things that are taking place that are fomenting greater uncertainty throughout America. America is in a very tenuous and dangerous state and place as I speak to you. There is something hideous, something dark, something dismal that is sweeping over this nation. Our nation is a nation filled with lies and deceit. Nothing is what it appears to be, and I am 100% certitude of that. Nothing is what it seems or appears to be. It is a veneer. It is a facade. It is a subterfuge. It is a sham. It is chicanery. Everything that we are witnessing, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the congresswoman from the state of Georgia, was elated with the leaking of the files some weeks ago from the young 21-year-old Air Force reservist, because it told the truth. Now, there were those who castigated her profusely, but she was elated in that it shared the truth. It put light on fallacy. It put light on falsehood. It put light on lies. It put light on mendacities. It told the truth. Nothing is what it appears to be. You can no longer trust your government in any way, shape, form, or fashion. It is tyranny in this land. And everything they're doing at the end of the day is to bring the New World Order on the scene and do away with the sovereignty of America and the freedom of the citizens. As I mentioned yesterday, the central bank digital currency at the end of the day is about controlling all humanity. I shared how that soon the dollars around the world will come home to the shores of America, and it will only spike what I believe could very well be hyperinflation before it ends. You cannot print paper and have no basic intrinsic value backing it. It just can't last. It's no more than taking copy paper, putting it in a copy machine, and copying money. They just work to try to deter the counterfeiting of the paper money. but it is backed by nothing. Oh, the good faith and credit of the United States. When will American citizens realize our government has no money? Money comes from the constituency. It comes from the citizenry. What we give into their coffers is where they get their money. And the abuse has gone to the worst extremes one could imagine. And that leads me back to this prophecy in Haggai chapter 1, verse 6. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. That phrase, to put into a bag with holes, is severe inflation. Your money is going nowhere. Your money is never enough. And sadly, a spirit of covetousness has gripped America. Most today are never satisfied. Therefore, they lust and they covet for more. Jesus said in Luke 12 and 15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You can have an abundance of possessions, but Jesus said, that's not what your life consists of. Yet people think, because they have much, they're blessed. I believe suddenly things will change in America quicker than we can imagine. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. If we have food and clothing and raiment, there would be the same as housing, food and raiment, covering. Be content. Sadly, most people are discontented in America. We need to understand God is our source. Sadly, many people trust in the government. They trust in a corrupt institution to be their source. All the free money they gave out a couple years ago. And then you look at the scores of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars in fraud and waste. They don't even know where this money went. I think the last number I heard was $268 billion with a B. Don't even know where the money went. Have no record of it. The Pentagon has been audited 5 times and they cannot balance the books. 5 audits and they failed every time. But when you leave 75 to 85 billion dollars in Afghanistan, jets, tanks, armament, military equipment, when you leave 75 to 85 billion dollars, just left it, walked away from it. And Miley, what a mealy mouth Miley is to this nation, says it's cheaper just to leave it behind. Yet, a tank, let's say it costs $50,000 to fly a plane or get a tank back. What is that? One tankful or 2 tankfuls. It shows you the asininity and the destructive mentality that these people have. They don't care. You know, I appreciate Tunnel for Towers and these other institutions that help veterans. But if the government did not waste so much, they could take care of their veterans and not try to put the onus and the burden on people like you and I. Oh, I've sent money to the disability veterans. I believe the acronym is DAV, Disabled Veterans. There is so much egregious waste in this nation, and crooks and criminals and those who hold public office are more times than not the recipient of all of this dishonesty that's in our nation. If you and I could see how bad it is, we would not believe it's that bad. I'm telling you, we would not believe it's that bad. It is bad, folks. And sadly, there's going to be a day of reckoning. A day of reckoning. We're witnessing the swift demise and collapse of the United States of America. You say you're terribly negative today, Pastor. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. Great distress, dark days are coming to America. Some may ask, why would you dare make that statement? It is very simple, because we have become a godless and a wicked people. Never have I seen, and neither have you seen, such a push, such a deluge of perversity that we are witnessing in this nation. I mean, as never before, perversity is spewing from every media orifice in this nation. And in spite of all the sins, the crime, the exponential explosion of crime throughout all cities in America, where are the preachers crying aloud against the sins of this nation? Oh, I know it's not popular preaching. I know that's not what people want to hear. They want to hear, bless me, prosper me, load me up with supernatural blessings, but don't ask me to live a godly life. Don't ask me to walk in righteousness. Don't ask me to be honest with my neighbor. Oh, no. Don't ask that of me. I want to have the opportunity to work both sides of the street. I want to live any way I want to live and still expect God to bless me. Look at all of the calamitous things before this nation. The debacle and the Afghan evacuation. 13 soldiers lost their lives, and one soldier had the opportunity to take out the suicide bomber, but they said no. I heard him testify in Congress. I could have shot the man and took the man out, but they told me no. They told me no. Look at the balloons flying over America as our enemy takes pictures and surveil electronically everything about this nation. And what do? They blame the previous administration. How about the Russian jets that poured fuel on the American drones over there in the Black Sea and destroyed it. Nothing is said, nothing is done. Look at the border. Look at the tragedy and all of the innocence of children being raped, etc., etc. Look at all the deluge on these border towns who don't have the infrastructure to take care of their own cities, and they're bringing them in by the tens of thousands. Millions of illegal immigrants have entered into America. China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, all of them are demonstrating absolute contempt for America. And if we're not by now, it won't be long till you will see a conflagration between Israel and Iran. Everyone's going to choose sides. And America is being challenged at every phase of our nation, our government, our leadership, our economic structure. Don't you know that if America does go to war with China over Taiwan, do you realize how crippling it will be to this nation? All of those ships carrying thousands, tens of thousands of containers bringing material and supplies from China to the West Coast, they will sanction us, boycott us. There'll be nothing sent to this nation. Then you'll have all sorts of calamitous events taking place, like a shortage of medicine, a shortage of equipment, material for bulldozers, for motor graders, for trucks, so much that should be made here in America is made overseas in China. And if we go to war with China over Taiwan, you'll see how quickly there'll be a loss of almost everything in our society because they won't be sending it to us. You say that's rather pessimistic, but that's the truth. That's being realistic. That's looking at the ledger and saying, hey, we're going to have a deficit. We're going to have a shortfall. All of the Green New Deal, wind turbines, EVs, lithium batteries, all this is putting money in the pockets of China. Our Defense Department have invested in Chinese stocks. What an oxymoron. Chinese stocks being traded on the stock market. We're giving them money when we invest in them for their military to come back and fight us with the material that we've given them money to build. What's common sense about this stuff? Energy independence is gone. Gone. I believe in 24 hours, you will not believe how quickly a shortage of fuel will strike America. And they've been selling and getting rid of the strategic oil, petroleum oil that we had stored. Millions of barrels of oil. I want to say 85 million barrels. They've been putting it on the market, selling it to other countries. And if we get into a conflagration, how terribly will we be affected by our stewardship of our oil reserve, our strategic oil reserves? How quickly would America be negatively affected? We can't continue this lifestyle this way. But it's happening more and more every day. And it's happening subtly. It's so subtle. It's right in front of our eyes. But because we still have fuel and bread and milk and things like that, we're not seeing the erosion, how quickly things are eroding in our nation. I read just the other day, right here in North Carolina, all customers who bank with the local government federal credit union will lose their ability to access a physical bank branch. Let me say that again. Right here in North Carolina, all customers who bank with the local government federal credit union, they just usually they have the acronym LGFCU. LGFCU, that's the acronym. Local Government Federal Credit Union. If you bank with them, you're going to lose your ability to access a physical branch, a branch of the bank. They're shutting them all down. What does that mean? You can only do online banking. That is another way of removing the opportunity for you to go to the bank and say, I want to cash a check and I want to get $500 out. That's not going to happen if you remain with the local government federal credit union. Not going to happen. All they're going to offer, they've said it, it's been printed in the news around here, all they're going to offer is nothing but online banking, better known as digital banking, digital currency. Now, personally, I would struggle if I didn't have a branch bank I could go to and transact business. If they said tomorrow, Lankford, you're going to have to do all your banking online, I reckon I would just fall away and die because I don't do that. I don't want to learn how to do that. I don't have a debit card. I don't have any PIN numbers. I have none of that. None of it. I'll be talking to someone like Direct Television. What's your PIN number? I don't have a PIN number. Yes, you do. I said, no, I don't. They act like they can't do business. Then they finally capitulate. And while I'm on that subject, let me say this. This is not a reproof. This is not a rebuke. I'm not castigating or encroaching or impinging anyone, but listen to me. All of those of you, whether you're 40 or 80 or 90, you do all your business with a credit card or a debit card, you're helping to accelerate the cashless society. At least buy some gas or a loaf of bread or a gallon of milk with cash. I remember before my uncle passed away, I went down to see him again before he died, and I went with him to the grocery store. Instead of writing a check or pulling out cash, he put it on his credit card and just pays the bill when it comes through the mail and write a check. And I thought, you're 80 plus years of age and you're becoming a part of the cashless system, probably unknowingly. But the convenience, why do you think they offer you reward points? Why do you think they offer you cash back? You ain't never seen no cash back. If you have, write me. Oh, they say they're going to deduce off your bill or your statement 1%, 2%, 3%. But you don't get no cash. That's a lie. No cash back. And everyone that does that, is helping to generate and accelerate the cashless society. And again, I'm not criticizing you. I'm not finding fault in you. I'm not demeaning you in any capacity. But you are helping to accelerate the cashlessness in this nation. As I said, buy a tank of gas and go pay cash for it. A loaf of bread, a gallon of milk, whatever the case might be. But see, the convenience and the subtleness of it, day by day, day by day, day by day, we get broken down and we begin to operate this way. I see it all the time. I get my power bill. Go paperless. I say, nope, I'm going to write you a check, and I'm going to send the bottom portion of this statement into you. I'm going to stamp it and put the return address, and I'm going to mail it to you. See, they want me to quit doing that. Go online. This is digital banking when you go online. When you never use cash for anything. See, they're acclimating us. They're driving us to that mindset. And I understand the convenience. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing that. I do pay some bills by check. Don't get me wrong. But my point is, the more they do this, the more easily people acclimate, submit to it, and they just do that. So I want to encourage you to once a week buy something with cash to let them see. Hey, we can't do this yet because too many people are still using cash, but they could do it overnight. I said this a year ago. Remember, it was a year ago, March 2022. This is May 2023. March 2022, Joe Biden signed Executive Order 14067. That deals with digital currency. The aggregate of 14067 is 18. 18 in biblical numerology means bondage. Three sixes is 18. 666. They want this so they can control your life. You don't realize, I'm sure I don't realize, what would happen if suddenly everything went digital. Everything relative to your money. You don't write checks. Now, they're already doing this in China. Europe is already phasing it in. This is coming. This is coming. And I have consternation for people who say, I don't believe in the mark of the beast. That was during the Roman Empire. I don't believe, I think the book of Revelation, that's already been fulfilled. Hey, believe that stuff if you want to believe it, but it's not yet been fulfilled. When have you seen 2.5 billion people killed on the earth? If the book of Revelation has already been fulfilled, where's the resurrection of the righteous dead? When and where's the devil going to be bound where we don't have a tempter then? See, you can't make those things work out. Someone was saying to me the other day, well, I'm not so sure. I believe in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. And I said, so you don't believe in Matthew 24:15, when you therefore shall see the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Jesus said that. I did not say that. Jesus is the one that said, you're going to see that event take place. And then there are those who say, well, I don't believe in a literal physical antichrist. Remember my theme, my motif? You got to reconcile the scriptures. But I don't believe in a literal physical antichrist. Well, let's see what Daniel 7 verse 11 says. And I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Again, Daniel has this vision. He sees this beast. He's slain. He's smitten. His body, physical body, destroyed and given to the burning flame. Well, what does that mean exactly? There's going to be a literal man. Paul the Apostle said in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all deceivableness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. Verse 8 says that Christ is going to destroy this man with the brightness of his coming. He's a man. Daniel says here in Daniel 7:11, the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Well, where do we see that in the book of Revelation? We see that in Revelation 19, verse 20. And the beast, this horn, was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Daniel said, I saw that. The beast was slain, his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. Revelation 19:20 says, these both were cast into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Lake of fire. Yet people say to me sometimes, I just don't believe as a real, literal, physical antichrist, son of perdition. Well, the first one we saw was Judas Iscariot. He's described as the son of perdition in John chapter 17 when Jesus was praying in the garden. And then Paul says about the son of perdition / antichrist in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You got to reconcile all the scriptures. Remember, a horn always represents authority, but he's a little horn. But he will come to fruition. You can discount the scriptures all you please. You can say the book of Revelation is past, already been fulfilled, etc., etc. You can say, oh, it's all symbolic. There's nothing literal about it. Well, in Revelation 20, verse 1, when this angel descends from heaven with a great chain, he's going to chain the devil and cast him into the bottomless pit and going to lock him up. And he'll be bound, the Bible says, for 1,000 years. Do you know that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, there'll be no war? Can you imagine that? 1,000 years. I mean, think about the Civil War in the 1860s. In 100 years, we had that, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam. In 100 years, we had that much. You see, these warmongers want war. Oh, they're going to get war. But they're one day going to get war with somebody they don't want war with, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Yeah, they're going to have to deal with him one day, but they won't be able to deal with him at that time. Why? Because then he won't be as a little lamb. He'll be as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Exodus 15:3 says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. God is a man of war. All this is coming to fruition. In closing today, one of the great prophetic signs of the time of the end is homosexuality and that spirit. I've said it. I said it to you some weeks ago, but I want to reiterate it again today. The Lord put in my heart 25 plus years ago when you see the homosexual crowd become militant, just like the lesbian girl in Nashville, Tennessee, that shot and killed three children and three adults. She meant to take the lives of Christians. Hatred toward Christianity is about to explode. Everyone that seeks to live right, do right, be a purveyor of righteousness, you're going to be assaulted. It's just going to start out verbally, but it will end up in a spirit of militancy, just like this woman. I get so tired of this transgender stuff. It makes me sick to my stomach. She was a woman. Yeah, she put a ball cap on her head, won't look like a dude. All the stuff, that statement, transgender women are women. Why do you have to put that adjective in front of it? Eve was a woman. Adam was a man. You don't have to say transgender something in front of something else. That's just asinine. Transgender women are women. No, they're not. A woman is a woman. A man is a man. And the hatred toward Christianity is going to be unbelievable soon. John 15:18, Jesus said, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." It's sad, but it is the time of the end. I want to share in closing today from the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis very quickly. Genesis chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. "And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, arose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. And you shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." They did not embrace initially Lot's hospitality, did they? They just soon stayed in the street. "And he," Lot, "pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat." Was this Passover? Was this Passover? "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter." They came from every quarter of the town, and they came to oppress Lot and his household. "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." The word "know" there in the Hebrew is 30:45. The word is yada, yada, and it means to sexually know someone. So when you hear people say yada, 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 they have no idea where they got that and why they're saying that. Don't use that phrase, yada, 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 because that's the Hebrew word for sexual relationship. "And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him." So he walks out of his house, shuts the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Now, you got to understand, Lot is terribly, terribly compromised to offer his two daughters, virgin daughters, to these men. Take them. They don't know a man. They've never known a man. And do ye to them as is good in your eyes. What in the world good would be in the eyes of a militant homosexual crowd? None. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn. They're talking about Lot. And he will needs be a judge? Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. I don't know the perversity of homosexuality, but I do know whatever they do, they were going to do something worse to Lot. That's what they said. Now will we deal worse with thee. So they were desirous to sodomize the angels. What could be worse that they were going to do to Lot? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't live in that realm. I don't know what the depth of their perversity. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they, the angels, smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great. I've read where there could have been young boys there as early as 12, 13, 14 years of age. That's why when it says small and great, they were young. So they wearied themselves to find the door. They're smitten with blindness, and now as blind men, they're grappling, they're groping, they're trying to find the door handle to get inside. Thus God made them blind through the angelic power that they possessed. But they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. That's a militant spirit. As that spirit flourishes, you're going to know that we are near the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the greatest signs of the imminent return of Christ as you watch the militancy, the hatredness, the maliciousness of these people. Luke 17 28, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And the caveat there is verse 32, Luke 17, 32. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, I can't even tell you her name. I cannot tell you her name, but Jesus said, remember her. Why? Because she looked back. Genesis 19:26, and she looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. What was the commandment? Do not look back. Couldn't keep one commandment from God. Don't look back. But she did, and she became a pillar of salt, and she lost her soul. And thus Jesus says in Luke 17, 32, remember Lot's wife. What a warning to every one of us. Do not look back. Do not go back. The world has nothing for you. But her problem was simple. Her heart. Her heart was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Though she were out physically, her heart, her feelings, her love, her emotions, her affinity was with the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah. And though she were out physically, her spirit and her heart were attached to sodomy and Gomorrah and the lifestyle and the perversity. Sad, isn't it? Sad. I've often said if you struggle with the days of Noah, giants, the Nephilim, the Rephaim, we know they were real. Anak was a king, had a huge bed, the Bible says, in the book of Deuteronomy, like 18 feet long. So we know there were giants. David killed Goliath. Goliath, we know, had five brothers, etc. But if you grapple to struggle to understand and grasp all of that, that's okay. That's understandable. But you're witnessing what took place in Sodom and Gomorrah in America. It's in our military. It's in our institutions. It's in every part of our society. Folks, just a few years ago, nobody had ever heard of the term transgender. As I said to you some weeks ago, transfiguration, Mount Transfiguration. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. They're taking a word that's a blessing spiritually and debasing it and debauching it into something that is absolutely vile and wicked. We're going to start a new series next week entitled Christ, Our Example of Humility. If there was ever a time for the people of God and America to become humble, it is today. God resists the proud, but he said, I will give grace to the humble. God bless you. I'll see you next week. Have a great week. Thank you for your prayer, your love, and your support. God bless you.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.